Howard is away. John Doerr is filling in for the day. And joining us now, regular guest who teaches us how to be better in business. It is personal branding and communications expert Evan Thompson.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Evan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I've heard you on the show before, but it's nice to meet you in person.
Likewise.
Allison described you as a very gentle, interesting, fun person, and immediately I know all those things are true.
Thank you very much. We met about 2 minutes ago.
Yes.
So there you go.
I can tell a lot in 2 minutes.
Good chemistry, good primitive brain kicking in.
Yeah.
He does have a very primitive
brain.
Don't take that personally.
No, you are very accurate. My brain is as primitive. My brain is as primitive as they come. So I've been told. I had a seizure back in December, so I did. No, don't worry. I'm fine.
Evan got scared for a minute.
But just to prove, nothing's functioning well up there. So, yeah. But I'm fine.
Seems so in the early minutes of this engagement.
Well, I'm just letting you know, I'm ready to reveal anything about myself. So no question from you to me is off base.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
Yep. No, did you have a follow-up?
No, you go ahead. I was going to wrap that portion up. I just wanted to let Evan know that you can ask me anything.
Yeah, it's a free exchange.
ASA.
It's a free exchange of ideas, as always, with Evan. And you are always here to guide us, give us advice. Do you hate that? Why do you hate that? You made a face.
It's flattering on so many levels, and I know where it's coming from, and I accept the compliment. But I'd like to say sharing ideas and building on ideas that already exist at this table, in this booth.
Right.
And bringing them to another level where they're fun and interesting and ideally useful.
So the ideas already exist. They're already here.
Exactly.
So technically we don't need you.
Well, actually,
in a way.
It's a nice day outside. And, the golf course is beckoning. No,
I mean, if we were in a business, for instance, and the ideas are already there. But I'm totally joking, of course. And by the way, so knowing you were coming in today, I was reading some of the testimonials from on your website from people, and it was interesting to me to read something. Interesting. So one person lists some things that she learned from meeting with you, and this was someone in a business. She learned about, you guys discussed interpersonal relationships. Number one, listen and learn was something you talked about. Number two, build trust to improve teamwork. Number three, increase efficiency through selflessness. Evan encouraged me to be authentic. Don't try to, be something you're not, just your approach. She's happy to report that, XCO, I guess it's the company, has since offered her a full-time position and pay increase. So this, I was sort of confused at a second. Like, this was someone who turned to you, and then it almost sounded like a therapy session. I don't want to put therapy on it, but a conversation in that realm of therapy that helped a person with their own way of operating life. And then obviously the differences were so noticeable that she got this promotion. So, but then it seems like you do so much work and your spectrum is so wide as far as the services you offer. What is it you do? Like, how do you put that into – yeah.
That's the burning question. I often ask myself that. Essentially, I work on two levels. I help people write and express themselves better mm-hmm. in speeches, articles. Then I help them
Going to put a pin in that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's just stop there for a second. So how do you do that? You help them write better. Is it as simple as like truly – like it's how to write to get yourself across better?
Exactly.
Okay.
I match what they put on a page to the way they engage other people, the way they talk, the way they behave with their work colleagues, their bosses, their partners, friends – prospects. So I help them really become authentic people where they're not oversharing, but they're not afraid to talk about their experience as it relates to the person that they're engaging. It's communication in a digital age, real life, real conversation.
So how does someone identify that they may have a problem with the way they're working, and then how are they able to make the connection between I could solve this problem by reaching out to someone like you? How do they become aware of that?
There's a number of signs. They become not heard in their workplace, in their relationships. They just feel they're not really cutting through with their message. They're not really being themselves. They're acting.
Yeah.
They're thinking more about how they appear to others rather than engaging with others.
You're describing Allison.
Well, I've been here a lot. You know.
Yeah.
And they feel they are on. So what I encourage them to do is to listen and take stock of the situation before going into the cell.
Yeah.
I would almost describe it as I have gotten to know you, Evan, that in a way you're like almost like a specialized coach or a trainer, that if someone is like, I know something isn't right in what I'm doing, but I don't know what it is, they go to you to help figure it out. Would that be somewhat accurate?
That's exactly right. And I offer them an ear, and I offer them years of experience and objectivity. No two people are the same. In the case of the testimonial that you just offered, we got into role-playing. Yep. I became her, and she became her boss. So she could then see how her boss was relating to her.
It's called, is this Gestalt therapy? It's a version of it, isn't it?
It is. It is in its purest form.
Right.
But it's just basically helping people sit on the same side of the table as the person they're talking with.
Yeah, very effective and very therapeutic. They might even need some time to calm down after a scenario like that.
Well, they do get pretty pumped up.
Yeah, because they be yell. As imagine if they have a problem with their boss, they could be yelling at you, and
And you know what was sort of a very dark and bleak road. At the end of a conversation, they have a small toolkit which they have put together themselves.
Right.
I don't offer them turnkey solutions. I don't say you need to do this and this and this.
Yeah.
I just offer from my 30 years as a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Ways for them to navigate this very complex work world.
And what kind of toolkit would you suggest these people go out and buy? Like, would it be just a regular, like a handyman's toolkit, like a regular old?
The fundamental emotional intelligence toolkit.
Oh, I see. So it's not a literal toolkit.
Available at any magazine stand.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
It's also, I think, empowering. You empower people. Because that's the thing, is the only person you can control in any environment is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, someone's having a problem with...
Ask R. Kelly, but go ahead.
Okay, but yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That was a callback. But if in a business environment, whether you're having trouble managing a team or dealing with your boss or whatever it is, you can't change them. You can only change... So I feel like you empower people... to look at the things they can change and help them devise ways and find those tools to make that change for themselves.
Precisely. While being themselves, and a number of people I work with, just for example, are highly intelligent, technically superheroes.
Talking about me again.
Yeah, there's a lot of referring to you. technical superheroes. Used to be the smartest person in the room, but they're no longer the smartest person in the room just because they may have a photographic memory or they may be able to perform miracles.
Well.
with a portfolio.
Okay, I see.
Or a new product. Doesn't mean they can win the trust and the confidence and the empathy of the people they're working with.
Right.
No matter how smart the boss, who wants to work with a boss who doesn't play well?
Yeah.
Who you don't really respect, who's looking down on you.
Yeah.
And that's a leadership play, the ability to lead without looking down.
Yeah. We're going to get into specifically what you're going to talk about today, which is about, changing careers. But before we do that, just because we're on this topic of, let's say, a boss, and I'm kind of like a little bit going off track, but it's related. Just curious, have you ever read a book? Because it sounds like in what what you do, it would apply to your work. Have you ever read a book called Nasty People by an author named Jay Carter?
I have not.
No? Okay.
What's it about?
Not a lot of people have, but I found it very influential. It's very short read, too, but he talks interpersonal relationships, talks about the relationships between a boss or a husband or a wife even and their spouses. But it's all about manipulation to a certain degree and being the victim of manipulation. There's a word I'm missing here, not invalidation. It's largely about invalidation and how to work with what he calls one percenters, people who are aware of the fact that they're invalidating someone. These are very specific, almost sociopaths. But how to work with these people without becoming them is his point, because it's easy to kind of fall into the trap and fight back. So anyway, a book you might be interested in. It changed my life. I found it very interesting.
Well, the nasty folks often invalidate and do cruel things mm-hmm. to diminish the self-esteem of the employee or mm-hmm. the colleague or their boss.
Precisely.
All in the name of the bottom line. They feel it's called adding value. If they can push someone harder and harder, break them down, then build them up, they're adding value to their world, which is the corporation, the business.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they're feeling better about themselves if they do have a bully instinct.
I think in most cases, it's probably that. But who am I? But absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's often very insecure people
yeah.
Who are bestowed a title
yeah.
will wave that around mm-hmm. in the face of others.
Yeah.
And they tend not to last too long.
Okay.
I could be called out on this. I know there are leaders in corporate Canada who are known for their cruelty. I won't name any because the ones I'm thinking of are deceased.
Oh.
But it is a management style, but it's yeah. becoming, thank goodness, less and less popular.
Yeah, absolutely. Today specifically, we're going to talk about something that's probably on a lot of people's minds, especially because, I mean, people are changing jobs all the time. But you were going to talk about maybe some of the difficulties about that, like maybe people starting up a new line of work.
Well, you know, here we are in the summer, and some of us are on holiday. Some of us are at work. And as fall approaches, that to me is the new time of year. That's like New Year.
Yeah.
Because back to school, back to everything, back mm-hmm. to reality. And
one thing I wanted to say was we were talking about this very briefly before we came on air, and there is a real, September brings a real shift change. And I can remember when I was in school, every year in August, I would start thinking about all the brand new school supplies I was going to get and about how this was going to be the year that all my notebooks would be so neat. That I was going to make sure I didn't doodle in the margins. I was really going to crush it out by doing all my in-class work and all my homework and really make a fresh, clean start of a new opportunity.
Just cracking that grade 3 math book for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And avoiding the temptation to writing your name
yes.
opposite the spine where the pages all meet.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can have a pristine product, because those are expensive and you want to resell them.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that usually lasted until Canadian Thanksgiving, which is in October. And then by Christmas, I was back to my old tricks.
And what do you think brought the old tricks back? Just the
laziness.
Wear and tear of the work and the challenges of.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's still school, right? And it's easy when you've been off for a couple of months and, you know, you feel refreshed to go, yeah, I'm going to go in with laser focus. I am going to give it, I'm going to pay attention every minute of class and I'm going to give it 100% every day. But the grind wears you down, right? And then all of a sudden you, without even really thinking about it, you've been daydreaming, you doodled in the margins. Well, you might as well just draw all over the whole thing now.
Allison, also her default setting is laziness laziness.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I fight real hard now.
Whereas I excelled academically and kept things from
Sorry, when did that happen?
Well, I didn't make it clear. I didn't parade my achievements around,
so you wouldn't
have been aware of them. But no,
right.
No, I failed out of school. Actually, I had more absences. My absences were higher than my grade in one of my classes, and that's not a joke. 43 absences, 41% in math. So
yeah,
but I eventually graduated through night school and summer school. I don't want you to worry about me.
But he lives in Hollywood now, Evan, so everything's fine.
Yeah, I found an ability to, like, I find the cracks in the system, and I can find money and pull out of them, kind of thing. So yeah, I don't do anything real. But yeah, I was not a good student. I didn't like studying. But anyway, this is not about me. This is about
and it's not about the past either.
Mm-hmm. It's about this fresh new start.
Yes, and when you were talking about doodling in the margins and how fast that came back to you, that's why in the summer, when we have time to think, we really think it's going to be different this time. I'm going back to school. I'm going back to work. And it's going to be different simply because I won't be going back to the same place that I have come to hate.
Right.
That bores me, that doesn't pay me enough, that doesn't stimulate me. I don't like the people I work with. I'm going to make the change, and I'm going to do it fast and decisively. And therein lies the recipe for disaster.
Okay. That's the recipe for disaster.
The recipe for disaster is I'm going to turn over a new leaf in 6 weeks.
Right.
I'm going to have a new career, and I'm going to know exactly where I'm going. I will have reinvented myself. I will have gone through what should take months of reflection, introspection, research, and I'm just going to hit the deck running, and I'm going to throw myself into a new career.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break soon, right? So Maybe when we come back from the break, we can get more specifically into how you would suggest someone does, you know, prepare themselves with some specifics, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
I know people pay for these services, but if you don't mind chucking us a nugget or two that we can throw out over the airwaves.
I've got a pocket full. I'm happy to do so.
He's got a pocket full of nuggets for you. I'll sing a song occasionally.
Also, do not forget that if as you're listening, you're saying, hey, I could use some of this advice, EvanThompsonAndAssociates.com is Evan's website, at C-Suite Prospects on Twitter. But we will be back with more from the man himself, Evan Thompson. After this, John Doerr is filling in. Channel 167, Canada Talks.
Too late.
Back to Ward and Elle on Canada Talks.
John Doerr is filling in for the day, and we are joined by personal branding and communication expert Evan Thompson. And we were talking about, making changes. You're both looking at me, and I'm like, wait, is that not what we're talking about?
No, yes. I'm looking at you because you're speaking. You're doing well.
Thank you. We were talking about, the end of summer is often a time when we make changes in our lives and our business lives, and some practical things, approaches people can take to maybe not get overconfident about how this new life is going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, hope springs eternal. It's a new fall. People are changing. They're coming back from holidays or they're going back to work. And I suggested that people didn't really like that idea. Some people love their jobs. Some people love school. Mm-hmm. They love their relationships. They love everything.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of my personal experience where I saw summer as a time to retool, reinvent, and do something a little different in the fall. And my simple message is it ain't that easy.
For sure.
It's a very, very prolonged, protracted process to get it right.
Can you give us a more specific example, though, of something that would not be easy? Like a very specific example. So maybe someone is starting a brand new job, or maybe someone has quit their job, has no idea what they're going to do, but knows they want to do something else. Like,
I'll just take one profession. Take real estate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get into that industry very quickly. They see it as a very fast way to make money, to change their personal circumstances, their lifestyle. They're the boss of their time. To a certain extent, that's true. But many of them, in their quest for this wonderful change, new money, new advancement, they don't realize how hard being an agent is and how much work you have to put into building your network so you can actually start moving those big $3 million properties.
So what is it you would do to help? Let's say that was the case and someone's going to become a real estate agent, which I don't recommend, by the way, because most of them are crazy. Most of the, in my experience, most of them are, there's something missing in a real estate agent's head that makes them a little bit different than most people. I just had dinner with a bunch of real estate agents.
Okay, I was like, how many real estate agents do you know?
I sat around the table, there were about five of them, and yeah, what they talk about.
Who paid? So, who picked up the tab?
They picked up the tab, which was nice, because there was a group of them. But also, I only had one beer, so yeah, take the tab. But I offered, don't get me wrong. But anyway, so can you give us an example, though, like of what practical things would you suggest to someone if they were going to move into that world? Like, you've said, like, nothing comes easy, which we understand, and it's not as simple as having an open house and someone will just walk in and buy it. But what kind of practical advice or what would you help someone with if that was, in fact, the scenario they were walking into?
I would start by saying, ask yourself why you want to get into this industry, aside from the cash and the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Are you suited to this sort of work? How resilient are you? Do you have a thick skin? What motivates you? Are you a pleaser or are you a gatherer of cash, of assets?
Right.
You really, in any career change, you really need to ask yourself why. Why am I doing this? What's wrong with my current life? Mm-hmm. And what motivates me? Am I motivated by seeing people in happy new homes?
Right.
Or am I motivated by very large commissions in some cases?
That's what they're all motivated by. But now let's say someone genuinely is just motivated by the financial potential. What would you tell them? Like, let's say you concluded that they told you and you concluded that in fact is what they want.
That's the way the compass is pointing. I would suggest that they talk to people who they respect in the industry and they sit down with people at various stages in their career. Mm-hmm. For example, a rookie, a friend who's just started, or a family relative who's been in it for years and years. Mm-hmm. And get them to tell them their personal story.
Okay.
And one of the beauties of social media, people blog about anything.
True.
Find the key bloggers, the lead bloggers, and take from their stories. Watch interviews with highly successful people in an industry like real estate. And watch interviews with people who just left in a state of disarray.
Right.
I love this because it's great to look on the bright side and to be focused on the good things. But I think, yeah, to really tackle something new and accomplish something, you need to do your research no matter what industry it is. And I love that. And I think we all, or so many of us, make that mistake of going, I know what I'm good at, and I know that those things suit certain areas of this, so everything will be fine. But if you don't, that's what you have to focus on, the things you're not good at, and find out the things you don't know yet in order to really be successful. And I don't think people would have thought of those are a whole bunch of concrete things to do to really do that research.
Well, looking at the independent business owner market, the small business market in Canada, that group is the largest employer in the country because there are so many self-employed people. And some have great success. Most crash and burn very soon after they enter their profession, after they start up. They just don't have the emotional or financial wherewithal to make it. We don't really hear about them.
Yeah.
We hear about the winners, the people who have stayed the course. The wealth management industry, financial advisors, it is extraordinary to hear how many financial advisors stay on the grid, as they say, which is a way of measuring their financial performance, for more than a year or two. Mm-hmm. They just cannot sustain the pressure to bring in assets. Although they're personable, they love money, they haven't really thought about their resolve to stick with it. Are they that sort of person? You talk about real estate agents being a certain personality type. Financial advisors, it's the same.
I'm still a bit like, and maybe I'm just ignorant because I'm self-employed to a certain degree. Like the work I do is not, I don't necessarily, I have agents and I pay them a percentage of my earnings,
right,
and things like that. But maybe I'm just ignorant to a certain degree. I'm still trying to figure out, how do people find you? How do you become part of these people's lives? Like people, how do they reach out to you? How do they find out you? Like, I wouldn't even know something like this exists to a certain degree, because like I was saying earlier, it sounds like you're kind of a coach, a life coach, and you're trying to maximize people's happiness, really, is what I'm sounding like, what it's sounding like.
That's absolutely true.
So how do people find you? Like how, in most circumstances, do people cold call you? Do people get referred to you? Do you go into workplaces? Is the company hiring you? How does it work?
They listen to Ward and Al.
Yeah, that's
they
number
follow
one.
Ward and Al constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quite seriously, your following is vast among different audiences. Right. Some come to me through that portal. Mm. More often, though, it's referral.
Mm-hmm.
It's clients who are satisfied with the result and they tell a friend. Mm-hmm. They could be corporate. They could be in a law firm. They could be wealth managers. But they say, just check this guy out.
And their scenario could be, who knows, they're unhappy with something. And someone would say, hey, listen, I worked with Evan and he helped me feel what? Like, give us an example of someone you worked with and then that person referred someone else to you. What did you fix? What did you do?
I'll use an example of a financial advisor,
yeah,
who was starting up a new practice. He had left one bank and he was starting up at another. And it was sort of tough because, you know, you can't take all your clients with you. Sometimes it's a bit sticky.
Mm.
And I helped him relaunch and it worked. And he relaunched at just the right time, right at the beginning of the bull market.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told his friends. So it's really trust. You earn people's trust. You earn their wallet, basically. The Italian people have a wonderful saying. Earn the heart.
Oh, okay. I was going to say no swearing, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't speak Italian, although I wish I did. It's a beautiful, beautiful language.
It is my 17th favorite language on earth. Yeah.
17.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you think how many languages there are. That's pretty good. You know, probably, how many languages are there? At least 30.
I have no idea. I mean, 30 seems conservative.
Italian's my 17th favorite. Yeah. English, 18th. But anyway.
So where do they find me? They mm-hmm. go to Huffington Post. They read the Globe and Mail. They listen to Ward and Al. They are out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just out networking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for 30 years.
Do you want to talk about that? Like maybe we could get you. If you want to, I could probably help you get out there more if you want to do it more.
I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
My challenge as a business person, and I think most people would agree, including you, is finding the right audience. Who are my people?
Mm-hmm.
Who will benefit from my services, so I'm not wasting their time and they're not wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes really from knowing exactly what you do and what you want to do and the ability to listen to others.
Even if you are wasting their time, you're still getting paid, so that's not bad. But you don't want them to waste your time.
Yeah, and then, yes, you get paid, but then you're not called back.
True. But
and then they're not going to tell their friends to call you.
Yeah, but someone else will. Like, just in that scenario, though, be happy with the money. You did the work. Okay? I want you to appreciate yourself and your work.
Yeah. And sometimes people, you know, in corporations, situations change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm sort of focusing on the darker side of all of this. to see someone with lots of potential and help them move their career forward is what I enjoy most. And I think most people would agree. They like helping others. They like to see others make their dreams a reality.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you have to be really careful. Otherwise, you end up in a ditch.
Do you talk to people? Is there any industry that you wouldn't, where you feel like your services wouldn't help? Or do you think like any kind of work, this would apply? Like, let's say a stand-up comic like myself. Let's say, I don't know, I'm middle-aged now and I'm thinking, God, is there anything else I can do? Or is there anything else I can do to make what I'm doing better? Like, would that be a worthwhile conversation for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
As long as there is a will to keep growing and try different things.
Yeah.
There's a place, you know, for me and the conversation that I would share.
Even actors, musicians, that kind of thing?
I've worked with many different professions.
I think part of what Evan does also is you really understand the concept of branding, which has become a real annoying buzzword, I think, for a lot of artists. We don't like that word, but it's sort of just a word that encompasses the idea that your public has of you, right?
Yeah. As the founder of LinkedIn once said, branding is what people say about you when you leave the room.
Okay. Ooh, that's good.
Boy, was he or she a good listener or couldn't shut up.
Yeah.
I was so glad to get rid of them. Thank goodness they've gone. And that's, yeah,
I
that's
probably get that
Brent,
one sometimes.
Oh, please.
I am a talker.
No, it's true. Yeah.
It's your business.
Yeah, that's
true. It's what you do. And you asked who I work with, who can I help? Any human, really, who is looking to move forward.
Right.
And advance their skill set and their quality of life. In any profession, in any industry.
But then you must have to do a lot of research then because you have to tailor your knowledge to their specific industry, right? Or is it all the same?
That's a really good question.
Mm.
And yes, I do.
Right.
When I'm engaging them, when they're working with me, I do a deep dive into their industry. I don't try and pretend that I know the answers.
Yep.
Fastest way to lose credibility, fake
yes.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
One misquote, one bad call, it's over.
Yeah, it sounds like almost a meeting with like a counselor in a way. Like a counselor listens,
yes.
They talk, you talk, they listen, and it's almost like they discover their own, you know, problems or ways of fixing problems on their own almost. It's almost like you're just there as a sounding board to extract it, perhaps.
That's it. In a nutshell, that's exactly the
Nailed
way
it.
It works.
Nailed it. All right. Well, we're done with you then.
It's called experiential learning.
I'm joking.
And
experiential learning, yeah.
It's when you don't tell,
mm-hmm.
you suggest and you guide,
yeah.
and then you reward
mm-hmm.
by listening more
yeah.
and saying, how did you figure that out? What was it that you said to your boss that got you that raise
mm-hmm.
or got you that promotion or transfer?
Right.
And then, of course, good behavior begets good behavior, and they remember that story, and they do it again and again.
Pavlovian.
Yes.
The reward.
It's positive reinforcement.
I'd love, we don't have time for this, but I would love to do I don't know if we could do it on air, but an on-air counseling session. I'd pay you for it. And I could talk you through, because I have some genuine concerns about, you know, moving forward and things. I would love to do a genuine on-air version of a counseling session, provide you with all the information beforehand, and then we could do it on air. Would you ever do that?
I'd certainly consider it if you were completely comfortable with it.
Comfortable with it.
I mean, you know, you have a sense of decorum. I have a sense of decorum. You know, you want to share. You say, you know, you want to move forward. I would be honored to be part of that process.
Let's try.
I don't
it
think it will have
this,
ever
yeah.
been done
mm-hmm.
on in North American media.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a situation where a host And it's not therapy. It's not getting fixed. It's not being judged and, you know,
okay,
tweaked.
Well, let me just jump in. That's all therapy is either.
Boy, this is going into...
Sorry, I love therapy. I've been in for 20 years. And so it's not, therapy also isn't being judged.
No, the therapy racket is different.
The therapy racket is different. Sorry, I got a tiny bit defensive.
Thank
there,
you for
Evan.
Calling it a racket though.
But,
you know, at the end of our conversation, what you would leave with would be a path, a series of strategies to employ at your own speed in your own way. You wouldn't leave with a stamp. Clear customs, get out of jail free, you're done, you're fixed.
Oh, yeah.
None of that.
No, of course.
And so much of the therapy industry does operate that way.
Interesting. Well,
that's true.
I would love
I'm not a therapist. I say that right into this mic. I am not a therapist.
I would love to try something like that sometime. It could be a good workshop. Don't you think?
I think it would be great.
Well, yeah.
I am planning to facilitate it.
We'll try and line it up so it happens. But I'll give you plenty of notice and I'll give you background and give you everything you would normally have before meeting with somebody. And we'll go from there.
I'd be delighted. That would be a twist.
I'd be delighted too. It'd be fun. And I'm not really a host of this show. I'm just filling in. So it'd be different. I'd talk about my real life and, my problems there.
Go as deep as you'd want to go.
No, you don't want to go there.
Oh.
We can't go too deep with me. You don't even want to enter
You'd
those
never come back out, Evan.
Well... You know, it's all about comfort zone and what the listeners are comfortable with. It's hard to really shock people in this media environment.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would, but I'd be open and honest to doing something like that. Okay, so we'll put that on the back burner because we'll try and set that up for someday. And hopefully that'll be interesting listening for the viewers, you know? And if it's not, lots to listen to.
Gee. I think it'd be super educational and very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I already want to quit this show and just go do that show. But I'm not going to do that because I love this show.
We would do it on this show.
No, yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, then why would you have to quit the show?
I don't know. I meant, let's leave now and work on this. Work on this.
Well, maybe, just go to silence.
Maybe we can. Yeah. How important is it to hear the business report? Let's be honest. Same thing every day. This is up, this is down, this is up, this is down, this is up, this is down. We'll see you later.
This is part of business, is that we have an agreement with them.
Yeah.
It's that symbiotic.
No, I mean in general. I'm not talking specifically about our business report. I mean, generally, is going to be this is up, this is down, but that it's offset by this, and this is up, and this is down. But
and
that's
speculation
offset.
Is that this is going to happen, but we're going to wait and see.
Yeah, but we'll
and see comes up a lot.
But we can't wait to talk to Christine reports. Sue with our market update, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's not happening yet. But it's going to happen.
It's going to happen in just a few minutes.
So any more thoughts, any more ideas, questions about the summer, the career transition, what to do, what not to do, in just a nutshell?
Well, are there red flags? Are there things that people should across the board steer away from? Is there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are some of those glaring traditional things that they should watch out for?
In my experience, the well-meaning friend, neighbor, sibling who is in the industry and says, you've got to check this out. Stop what you're doing. Go get trained and do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, unless we have a specific example, I'd watch out for this guy. All you got to do is take this luggage to is this luggage from Colombia to Amsterdam. Trust me. It's well worth it.
It's the same sort of idea. Do your research. Make sure you're going to be right with the investment of time and money that you have to make to get really, really good in your newfound career.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it works for someone doesn't mean it will work for you.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Can we get a specific example here? I mean, I'm just wondering because generally just because it works for someone doesn't work for you. I get that.
Yes, absolutely.
But specifically.
Right off the top, multi-level marketing. I'm not saying
That's what
bad.
I was thinking.
I'm not saying good. For the right person, very good.
Yeah.
For a person who is introverted and not outgoing and not self-promotional to a degree, not afraid to knock on doors. You know, if you're a shy person, it won't work for you.
No.
If anything, a big takeaway is do your research know yourself and do your research, because if it's not something that's going to work for you, clearly it's just not going to work.
And I think the harder part of that two-pronged approach is know yourself. I think people don't want to ask themselves hard questions and don't always want to look and identify, is this right for me? Do I have the personality type? Where is my comfort zone? People have a real hard time a lot of the time asking themselves those questions.
Yeah, and you definitely have to know yourself, because if you write the wrong name down on the application form, you're done.
That's so, yeah, 100% done.
Yeah. It's hard work. It's really hard work. It's like proofreading.
Yeah.
When you write something, do you do your own proofing? Do you read it out loud a couple of times to make sure there are no errors, there's no glitches? I mean, that is hard work.
I always send it to someone else, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I can't proof my own stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you're evaluating your career and your next step, you really do need a proofer. You need an editor. Could be me, could be a mentor, someone that you know and trust. But to just decide that by Thanksgiving turkey time, I'm in a new job and this is what I'm going to be doing, or well on my way to doing it, no substitute for thought.
Evan Thompson, the proofreader of your life. Let's write a book.
That's not bad.
That's your title.
Yeah.
Life proofreader.
I like proofreader of your life better.
Well, it's my choice, and it's going to be proofreader of your life, okay?
Yeah.
Evan, when are you writing your book, by the way? When is it coming out?
Oh, which one? I've done some white papers.
The next one. The next one.
It's in progress.
It's in your head. Right?
Yeah, it's not good to just rush into writing a book.
You want to marinate it. You want to marinate
process.
It.
The same process. You're starting a new career. Every book you write, every time you do something different,
mm-hmm.
every time I come on this show, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what I want to bring. And why am I here?
I thought you were going to say.
Because we like you?
I thought you were going to say every time I come.
That'll do.
I thought you said every time I come on the show, I'm thinking, when am I getting out of here? But, okay.
We are sadly out of time, Evan, because we could obviously talk to you for hours.
I could. I have a million more questions.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to talk to Bloomberg. Evan Thompson and Associates.com is the website, at C-Suite Prospects on Twitter. Evan, always so great to see you, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Evan.